So, good morning. I trust that the Lord has continued to be faithful to you. And I'm praying that God will challenge our hearts again as we look at His Word. By God's grace, this morning, we are going to look at the story behind the events of the triumphant entry, which is, like people popularly call it, Palm Sunday. I know we know the story, but we will read it again. Some of us might not know it, but we'll read it. And we want to draw lessons from the story itself. Why is it that people just gathered and started praising Jesus, praising God, and the whole circumstances around what happened is what we want to look at? And the reason is because everything you see in Scripture has a lesson or a spiritual application for your life now. That's why the Word of God is alive. It's not just a historical book. You know, a lot of people have zoned it in their head. Oh, the Bible is just one book that is historical and is full of stories, both good stories and wacky stories. Have you heard that before? Weird, strange, wacky stories. But you see, God, the Word of God is God-breathed. Everything that is written in here, God inspired it. And it is applicable for generations to come, not just for the old times. Even now, we are going to read this story, and you will find out that everything written around the story applies to us. And so that's why the Word of God is alive. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will open your heart, and you will be challenged again as we read through. So, we are just going to read an account of it in Luke chapter 19. So, if you have your Bibles, just open to Luke 19. I'm going to read it here. And then, we'll be, by God's grace, drawing lessons from it. From verse 28, the Bible says, "And when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem." Sorry, I'm reading from New King James, so it might be a bit of old English. Don't worry. I'm still speaking normal English. Is that okay? I'm not, I might be using my Nigerian accent, but it doesn't matter. I can, if you want me to go Irish, I can go Irish as well. But, like I said, English is English. You understand it at the end of the day. So, verse 29, "And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you losing it? Thus you will say to him, because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were losing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you losing this colt?' They said, 'The Lord has need of him.' Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And he went, and many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. May God grant us understanding as we study his word together. I know some things Jesus said there, or maybe the last thing he said there, was very strange, isn't it? But we will see why. Why did he say it? Why did he say that if human beings, if disciples, stop praising God, stones? It's very strange to me as I read it. And I was asking, why? Why will stones open their mouth and start talking and start praising God if human beings don't do it? We'll see the reason why. So, let's start from the beginning of the story. The story we all call the triumphant entry, or the Bible calls the triumphant entry. So, Jesus was going to go to Jerusalem to be crucified. That was his final journey, to go and be glorified. And the Bible said, as he was going, he drew near to Bethany. And in verse 29, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, and you will enter and find a colt tied. Some translations say, you'll find a donkey. Now, Jesus needed to go into Jerusalem. He was going to be glorified through this crucifixion. But he would not walk into Jerusalem. He needed to be on a donkey. And the Bible said, he sent two of his disciples. And that is the first point we want to raise here. Jesus did not go himself. He sent two disciples. He sent two of his followers. And the first lesson for me as I read that story again is that can I be available for Jesus to send me? Can I make myself available with him? Because you see, the disciples were with Jesus. Supposing that day, one of the disciples went on an errand or a personal, had his own personal business. Maybe one of the disciples was doing a small side, what do they call it again? Sorry. Huh? There is a, when you have, maybe a side hustle. Oh, thank you. Side hustle. Huh? They had a side hustle. They were doing Amazon business. There's nothing wrong with it. And that day, when Jesus was going to be glorified, the disciples went with him. And one of them needed to go and sort out some orders he had brought from China. And he wanted to sell it before they crucified Jesus. Because we don't know. He might be saying in his mind, Jesus has been providing for us all these years. If they crucify Jesus now, we are stuck. We don't have money. I had better sort out my life. This Jesus, I don't understand. And he went to go and sort out his side hustle. Jesus needed to send people to go and get this donkey. And he wasn't available. That disciple wasn't available. And so that's why I started praying for myself again. Lord, please help me that I am available for you to send. Because you see, the two disciples that went, Jesus told them, go over into the village and you will see this donkey tied. That's another important lesson for me. I'm sure we've talked about this before, years ago, but it's good to revise it. The Bible said the donkey was tied. Why was it tied? It was tied, ready to be available for the master to use. Do you understand? At times, and you'll be wondering, it's boring. This donkey is just there, tied. And at times, even we ourselves,
We think the Christian life is boring.
Isn't it?
We think that all this God, Jesus, is it not too mundane and just boring? At times, even for our young ones, you might think following Jesus is not what's the Gen Z language for? You know, we have to start learning these things. Huh? The Gen Z language for not boring. What is it? Do you know? For boring. No, boring. Is there a Gen Z language for it? I'm sure there is. I was talking the other day, and I was talking to some young people, and they were telling me that if somebody is misbehaving, they say he's wilding.
It's interesting. Another language. He's wilding. Have you heard that one before? You've not heard it. Okay. I'm teaching you Gen Z language.
He's wilding. So it might look as if the Christian life is boring. No, it's not. Look at this donkey. Please permit me to go into the world of animals. Just bear with me for this few minutes. Supposing another donkey came around and he saw this donkey tied. Say, excuse me, why are you tied? Why are you not free? You look at me, I'm free. I can go anywhere I want. I am free. You are tied. Tied down for what? And maybe the donkey that was tied was saying, you see, I just feel God wants to use me, but I have to be here. I'm waiting for God to use me. Use you? But you are, look at me, I'm free. I can go anywhere I want. And if this donkey was not tied, it will not be available for God to use, for Jesus to use. Beloved brethren, do you know God at times keeps you? It's not that he ties you physically. He restrains you from going all out. I don't know if it has happened to you. You will notice that you are being, God is nudging you to keep to his word. God is insisting on your life that, see, you need to follow my word. You need to follow my principles. But you are looking at other Christians and saying, but God, look at him, look at her, look at her. And God is telling you, don't worry. Don't look at them. Follow me. I didn't ask you to follow them. You understand? Jesus told Peter, follow me. Do you remember that story in John chapter 20? Let me remind you. Jesus was having a discussion with Peter. And, you know, Jesus kept asking Peter, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than this? And Peter kept saying, I love you. You know, Lord, I love you. And Jesus kept saying, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And then it got to a point where Jesus told Peter, follow me. And immediately John got up and started following Jesus. And then Peter asked a question. He said, Lord, what about this man, John? And Jesus had to tell Peter that, see, if I want him to be alive till I come, it's none of your business. You, follow me. God wants you as an individual to focus on him. I know it's good to have fellowship. I know it's good to have brethren around us. We encourage one another in the things of God. But you have to have a sharp focus. You have to have a single eye in keeping an eye on your master, Jesus. When you go to the supermarket, I want to ask you a question. Do you look at other people shopping trolley? Eh? You do. Then that means you will not focus on what you are buying. I know at times you are nosy a bit. You say, what? Are they buying the whole world? Who are they feeding in their house? You know, when it happened to me once. When we didn't have children then. We'll go to the supermarket with my wife. We just go with our small basket.
just buy a few things. As we'll be wondering, people will come with big trolleys. And we're thinking, are they feeding the whole village? I didn't know that my turn would come. When I also had three children, after three, and I had to start dragging the big trolley, I remembered. But you see, the reason why I'm saying that is because in a supermarket, when you go, you concentrate most times on what you are buying. You want to check what I'm buying is correct. You are not bothered whether the other person is buying 4 packs of Pampers or 1 pack of Pampers. You just want to focus on what you are buying. The same thing in this world. We need to focus on our relationship with Jesus, your personal relationship with Jesus. Don't be distracted. Other people might not be following as you are following. Don't worry. Follow the way the Lord has impacted your heart to follow. Don't be concerned first. I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned for your brethren. Don't be concerned first about what they are doing. Be concerned first about you. Because you see, if you are not following properly, you cannot help the next person. I've used this analogy before. Please permit me to use it again. You know when you fly in an aircraft, you remember that famous announcement? You remember the announcement? That announcement that goes like this. In case there's a drop in cabin pressure, oxygen masks will fall from the panels above you. Do you remember? Put on your own mask first before you help the other person. The reason why you have to put on your oxygen mask first is because, you see, when there is no oxygen, the first sign that people know or people see when there is no oxygen is confusion. You are confused. How we know somebody is confused, somebody has no oxygen, one of the ways in the hospital, somebody that is talking rationally with you, all of a sudden, you start saying, where am I? When is Arsenal playing Liverpool? In the hospital. I think the game should, let's watch the game now. And you are wondering, why is he talking about Arsenal and Liverpool? He's dropping his oxygen. He's not saturating well. So what do? Immediately, we'll put oxygen on him. And within a split second, you'll be wondering, oh, I'm okay, what happened there? It's because, when there is no delivery of oxygen to your brain, the first thing that happens is confusion. You are confused. That is why in the aircraft, they advise you put your own oxygen mask first. If you don't, you will not know what you are. They will bring an oxygen mask to you and you won't know what it is and you won't know how to use it because you are confused. What does that teach us spiritually? You need to be alive first in God. You need to keep growing and let your relationship with heaven be smooth so that you can help the next person. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will enlarge this in your heart. We need it. All of us need a growing personal relationship with Jesus so that we can be useful in our generation. So we see here that being tied does not mean you are useless. Imagine those disciples following Jesus and other people making fun of them. You've been following this man for 3.5 years. What will come out of it? You've been wasting your time following this man all over the place, following Jesus. What will come out of it? They too were tied. But excuse me, did something glorious not come out of those lives? Look at Peter. We are still referencing his life. His life is still speaking to us up to today. John, we cannot talk about following Jesus without mentioning this man called John. Huh? Matthew, all these people who were following Jesus and people used to laugh at them and think they are wasting their time.
they have become spiritual references for generations to come. I'm praying that you will realize that you are not wasting your time following Jesus. It's not boring. Don't feel, oh, I'm restricted. God is holding you on, holding you back, so that you can be useful to Him. If you are like that wild donkey going up and down, eh? Have you seen, we don't have it in this country. I know the havoc wild dogs cause. Dogs that are not tamed, dogs that are not trained, they cause a lot of trouble. They are the ones that carry rabies. That's the problem with wild animals. And I don't want to be a donkey that is just going up and down. No reference, no hindrance, no restraints, because I would not be useful to anybody. So this donkey was tied. And look at verse 31. He says, and if anyone asks you, why are you loosening this donkey? You shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Beloved brethren, I want to challenge you. The Lord has need of your life. You are not your own. I'm praying that you understand that you are not the owner of your life. I know some people say, well, it's my body. I don't care what happens to me. It's me. I make the decision. I own myself. I own my life. You don't tell me what to do. I know we do. I'm not permitted to tell you what to do. But excuse me, God owns your life. You understand? The very breath God told Belshazzar, one of the kings in the time of Daniel, God told him, that your very breath is in the hand of God. You understand? Your very breath, every time you take in breaths like that, and it's happening automatically, God can suddenly stop it. You don't own your own life. So, the arrogance that is me, myself, and I should not be. God owns you. So when the Bible said here about this donkey, the Lord has need of it. God has not stopped making that call to our lives. God has need of you. I'm praying that you realize it. I'm praying that you would also start asking God, if you have need of me, where do you want me to be used? If your time, your own, the time you have in this world is not your own, and is the Lord's, you should reasonably ask and say, God, if it's not my own, then what should I do with it? So the Bible says the Lord has need of it. So, the Bible said in verse 32, those who went their way, found it just as Jesus has said. Do you see how amazing it is to walk with Jesus? The more you walk with Jesus, you realize the wonders of his person. Those disciples knew firsthand that Jesus said something and it happened. If that other disciple, remember that other disciple I talked about, who went on his side hustle, came back and they were telling him, do you know what? Jesus sent us to go to the next village, and we heard him. And as we went, we saw it firsthand. Which one is better? To have the firsthand story, to know what happened yourself and experience it, or you being told? That is the advantage of being close to Jesus and being his disciple. So that you can be sent. So that you can see his wonders at work. So that you can see his glory at work. I'm praying that God will help us understand this. Verse 32. So they went. In verse 33, as they were loosening the colt or the donkey, the owners of the donkey said to them, why are you loosening this donkey? You know, the donkey has owners. Eh? And Jesus sent disciples to go and loose this donkey, bring the donkey.
And I was asking myself, this donkey has owners, and Jesus sent for the donkey. It's as if Jesus was stealing the donkey. Is it not? Or should I say Jesus was trying to just commandeer it, if I'm allowed to use the word. But let me tell you, God has a right to commandeer our lives. Should I tell you why? The Bible says, it's in Psalm 24. Maybe we should read it quickly. If you have your Bible, Psalm 24. Psalm 24, very quickly, from verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's. Everything that is on the that is in the world is the Lord's. That donkey, it was God that created it. It's the Lord's. So, although the donkey has owners, the real owner was asking for the donkey. Do you understand? And we have to realize this. I know, as parents, you have children, isn't it? But let me tell you, they are not actually yours. If you know what I'm saying, they are the Lord's. God is only allowing you to look after them on His behalf. You get it? The same way God is giving the owner of that donkey to look after the donkey on his behalf until when he needs it. I always use analogy for my children. And I tell them, we are only looking after you on behalf of God because you are God's children. When the time comes, you will leave. I've said it before, I use the analogy a lot. My wife and I are bus drivers. You understand? My children are passengers. When they get to their own bus stop, you get it, they will drop down and say, Mommy, Daddy, thank you very much. I am going to go and look for my own co-driver so that we can start our own journey together. You get it? No matter how we love our children, it's lovely, it's good. There's nothing wrong with it. But you are only looking after them on behalf of God. Because a time is coming, God is going to need them as well. The same thing applies to our lives. The time you have is the Lord's. God is just giving you to manage it. At a point in time, God might demand that time from you. He might say, leave this, I want you to do this. Do we get it? I pray God will help us. Let's go back to Luke chapter 19, just to begin to round up. So, they brought the donkey to the Lord. And what happened? The Bible said, as they brought him, they threw their clothes on the donkey. And what did they do? They set Jesus on the donkey. So, why is this donkey suddenly important? The donkey is an ordinary donkey. Do you understand? But the donkey is important because Jesus is now sitting on it. Excuse me, will these people naturally see a donkey and put clothes on the floor for the donkey to ride on? No. It's because Jesus is now on this donkey. The same thing applies to us. The reason why you should be relevant, is because of Jesus in you. I pray you understand what I'm saying. Jesus is the one that adds value to your life. I've quoted this scripture here before. Maybe I will quote it again. That your life as it is like a passing wind. Oh, let me not talk too much. Please, let's look at the word of God. Psalm 62. Let me just read it quickly. Let's look at the Bible. Psalm 62. I want to read verse 9. Look at the Bible. Let me read it from a simpler translation so that we will get it. Psalm 62, verse 9. It says, men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If both of them are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do you understand what the Bible is saying? If, I don't know if, oh yeah, that's NIV, isn't it? Low-born men are but a breath. Eh? The high-born, that's men of high esteem. You know the men of high esteem. Men who come from a posh, let's use it, from posh families. You know, even when they talk, it's very posh. They don't just, you know, they are talking to you and they use clear English language with diction that is very expressive. I've met a few in my time, and that's how they talk. The Bible says they are a lie. No matter how posh they are, when they are eating, you know, they bring the spoon and they just use their teeth too. They don't do that. It's delicious, you know. Posh. What did the Bible say? They are a lie. High degree. Posh. If they are weighed, so if the low men, the men of low esteem, and the men of high esteem, if they are weighed or they balance, the Bible said they are nothing. Together, they are only but a breath. The Bible is just showing you the picture of how futile your life is. You are less than a breath. That's what the Bible is saying. Now, what adds value to your life is Jesus. The reason why your life will make any meaning is because of Jesus that you carry. I pray God gives you understanding. That you see, life is so, you know, you could be, we've seen it again and again and again. By the virtue of the job I do, a man's life can just change within 1 minute. He could just be riding his bike and suddenly somebody from nowhere will just come and crush him on his bike. And he has to have his two legs amputated. And you are wondering, but this man got up from his house this morning, going to work, and his life has changed within a split second. That is the futility of life. The Bible says, when both of them are weighed on the scales, they are less than a breath. Now, why is it? I was trying to illustrate with that donkey, isn't it? The reason why that donkey is useful is because Jesus is now riding on it. That's why all of a sudden the donkey became important. If you had seen the donkey around, you would just say, oh, that's a donkey. You will not even look at it. But suddenly, that donkey became the most important donkey in Jerusalem. Why? Because he was carrying Jesus. I want you to value the Jesus you carry. I want you to understand that Jesus is not just ordinary. He is the one that has added value, spiritual value, eternal value to your life. That's why if you die now, there is hope because of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about those who have no God and no hope in this world. I pray God will give you understanding. Sorry, my time is up. And I'll just highlight very quickly. So you know that people started praising God, praising the Lord Jesus. And at the end, do you notice? I just want to highlight that point quickly. At the end, the Pharisees were annoyed. Why are these disciples shouting? They are making a lot of noise. Eh? And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, if these people keep quiet, stones will take over. What's the relevance of that? Were stones created to give praise to God? The first thing is that God created us so that we can praise Him, we can glorify Him. When we don't do what we are meant to do, God suddenly uses inanimate things to teach us what we should do. And I'll give you an example. Do you remember the story of Balaam, the prophet? Do you know he was an extraordinary prophet? The Bible said he used to see visions with his eyes open. He was a special, he had a special anointing on him. But he started misbehaving. He started disobeying God. And God didn't want him to go and curse the children of Israel. But he was going. And he was riding on his donkey. And what happened? An angel stood. Trying to stop him from going. Eh? And the angel stood. Balaam did not see the angel. A man who sees visions. It was the donkey that saw the angel. God had to open the mouth of the donkey to talk to Balaam. Because Balaam kept hitting the donkey for the donkey to move forward. The donkey wouldn't move. Because here was an angel with a huge sword in his hand. And the donkey had to open his mouth. And it's very interesting. We don't have time to read it. What the donkey said. The donkey said, all these years I have been your donkey. I have never disobeyed you. You see a donkey. I have never disobeyed you. Can't you see this angel in front of us? When human beings start misbehaving, God uses animals to teach us the truth. I used to wonder why we human beings love dogs so much. And do you know why they say the dog is man's best friend? Do you know why? It's because dogs can be very obedient. In fact, they are more obedient than human beings at times. Yes, they are more obedient. But it should not be so. We are the ones that carry the glory of God. We are the ones that carry the image of Jesus. We are the ones that carry the image of God. We were created in the image and likeness of God. We should be the ones that should be more obedient than animals. Sorry, I am talking like this. I know it's not pleasant, but it's the truth. How come a donkey saw the angel and the man who sees visions didn't see it? So the donkey had to open his mouth and say, see, Mr. Balaam, I have been obeying you all these years. I have never disobeyed you. On this occasion, obedience, we need to follow. This is an angel. If you don't want to see the angel, I have seen it. I'm not going anywhere. Beat me from now till next year. I'm not moving. I love my life. That's a donkey. So, beloved brethren, can God help us? God is challenging our obedience. Your personal obedience to God, where is it? I pray that you will take it this morning and you will revisit your life. Are there areas of your life where you've disobeyed God? God is calling you back. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you. Thank you that you are showing us your truth. You want us to be obedient. You want us to be truthful to you. Lord, we see that we want to be like those disciples who were available to be sent. We want to be like this donkey, Lord, who will carry you into glory, who will manifest your glory. We know, Lord, that it is you that has added value to our lives. And so, help us to be obedient to you. Help us to be able to carry you. Help us to reflect your glory, even as we live on this side of eternity. Thank you. Keep speaking beyond what has been said this morning. Let your word go far, reaching into our hearts. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.